And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. This is God's word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
People came from all over the world these last 2 weeks for the Olympics. And in this recently completed 31st Olympiad of the modern era, held in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, there were many amazing and also many agonizing moments, sometimes occurring simultaneously. Simone Biles attempted to become the first woman gymnast to win 5 gold medals at 1 Olympic Games. She was on that historic trajectory until she came to the balance beam, a contraption that gets its name not because it is 16 feet long, not because it is 4 feet off the ground, but because it is only 4 inches wide. By the way, it's not this. This is exactly 4 inches wide. I think I might be able to walk across something like this. Don't ask me to do any kind of other movement. I'll walk very carefully, but even this to walk across, not very easy. In her routine, though, Simone Biles slipped and had to steady herself to prevent herself from falling, and though she was eventually awarded the bronze medal. She, of course, enjoyed much success at those games, earning 4 gold medals. But one of the most amazing things was her answer after everything was done and she could kind of take her breath and relax and just watch her fellow athletes for the rest of the games. I think Bob Costas asked her that famous question of reporters, what do you want to most do next? Here's her answer. Go and see Christ the Redeemer. That Art Deco statue, that famous statue associated with Rio de Janeiro there above the city, with his arms outspread. Simone was born to 2 drug-addicted parents, and she was adopted by her grandparents, very pious people, Roman Catholics, and they instilled in her a strong Christian faith. She had to overcome many obstacles, more than most, to get to the gold medal platform in the Olympic Games. I mean, any of those athletes there, the training they have to undergo, the focus they have to have, the drive and self-confidence, and throw on top of all that, her background. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. In Greek, the word for strive is agonizesta. You can kind of hear in English, agony. An agon in Greek was a contest. And so this word here is associated with athletic contests, with all the preparation, the focus, the endurance, the sacrifice, and the constant effort to achieve success and reach the goal. And I think that's kind of a nice picture for the Christian life. Agon, a contest. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses that very word and the associated imagery around it for his own apostolic ministry. And he's not just focused on all the endurance and the suffering that is attendant on it, but especially on the fact that he's in the middle of it, and he will not give up, and he keeps pressing forward. And most importantly of all, this endurance is not attributed to himself. He says, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's only one way in the Christian life. In fact, in the book of Acts, Christianity itself is called the way. There's only one way, and that is forward, following Jesus. Even more than simply following, actually connected to him, found in him, which Paul says over and over again, I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is like a perishable wreath on the head of an Olympic athlete. It dries, it fades, it wastes away. Not having a righteousness of my own that perishes, but rather that which is found only in him. There's the way. Our gospel reading, in fact, begins, I skipped the first verse, but that first verse that introduces the reading is important. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. That's the way of Jesus, isn't it? And the way of the Apostle Paul likewise. Teaching. The Word of God must be taught. It must be heard. It must be believed. It must be lived. And we are willing to die for it and in it. That's the way of Jesus. It involves teaching. And it involves a destination. In his case, that right there, Jerusalem. That's where he's going. There's the way. Teaching, listening to the Word of God, and suffering for it. The Apostle Paul knows exactly what that's all about. This way of Jesus and the Apostle Paul involves teaching the faith, listening to the Word of God. It involves suffering with Christ, and it involves not being ashamed of him. And by the way, that temptation grows ever stronger. The way of Jesus means you are not ashamed of him. You're not ashamed of his lowliness, his defeat on the cross, his agony that he underwent. Rather, quite the opposite, rather than being ashamed of this and him, you wrap yourself up in him and in it. Like an Olympic athlete, you know, after they win the race, they take the flag of their home country, they wrap themselves in it, they go around the track, and, you know, they're proud of this, rightfully so. But we are proud of our Savior Jesus Christ, and we are wrapped in him and his lowliness and his humiliation and his suffering and his death. Paul says, all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with him. Jesus urges us to strive, agonizes, the agony, to enter through the narrow door. He says, many will seek to enter, but will not be able. In Greek, the word is they won't have enough strength. Notice that Jesus says, even for the many who do seek, they won't be able. And I don't think there are many who seek. I don't think so. They seek themselves. They seek their own money and possessions, the good life, glory in this world. That's what everybody seeks. Or the Jews, they seek their descent from Abraham, and on the basis of that, they will consider themselves included, and then they exclude the Gentiles who don't have that connection to Abraham by genealogical descent. That's what people seek. Things that are at their disposal, under their control, that they can contribute to. I think even many Christians are not seeking the narrow way. And really, quite honestly, every single one of us is that way. We are, spiritually speaking, lazy Americans. We are not world-caliber athletes in the spiritual life. The way of Jesus is to submit to the judgment and verdict of God over your whole life. Some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. That is not the Olympic Games. That's not how the Olympic judges would render a verdict. That's not how your employer renders verdicts on you. That's not how the government operates. That's not how schools operate. Nothing in this world goes according to the judgment Jesus enunciates here. Some who are first will be last. Some who are last will be first. It's not the best or the first who win the prize, but rather the last and the least likely. It's not the holy that impresses God. In fact, he says in Scripture, there is not one. Rather, God looks for the repentant and contrite heart. The heart that's been crushed. The heart that's been broken. The heart that has no resource of its own. The heart that he has done these things to through the law, which shows us our sin and our lowliness, that we are lazy Americans. We are not world-caliber athletes. God is not looking for the most virile, but for the weak one who casts themselves on his mercy, just throw themselves on him and his strength alone. And he does this so that he can shame those who are strong, those who have everything they think they need, those who are reliant only on themselves and don't think twice about God. those who have gold all around their necks. In short, the way of Jesus is dying. It is the narrow way. The way of Jesus is the baptism of Jesus. That is the narrow way. To be buried with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we now have a new life. Christ has been raised from the dead. Alleluia. And he has been put at the highest place, not the gold medal platform, no, the highest place, at the right hand of the throne of God. There he is seated over all creation, having accomplished your salvation and then given it to you freely in your baptism. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is interceding for you. What does that mean? It means he's not above all creatures and basking in glory. He's above all creatures to serve you still. This is always his mind, to lower himself down to serve you and to bring the salvation he earned for you in great lowliness, humility, suffering, pain, agony, but now to bring it to you, using the great power and resources at his disposal so that you might be his forever. That's what he seeks. The way of Jesus is a way of dying to yourself. It is a way of dying for your neighbor. Our whole goal is to spiritually serve the neighbor next to us, to assist them in any way we can. One of the highlights of this year's Olympics was when, in the 5,000-meter race, the women's 5,000-meter race, I used to run that in high school, 3.1 miles, much slower than these ladies can run. But that 5,000-meter race, there was one athlete from the Netherlands who fell, and then the American runner tripped over her and actually injured herself. The two helped one another up, and the injured American runner did hobble across the finish line, and she was greeted there by the runner from the Netherlands. And she was actually advanced into the finals because she was hindered in her race by another runner, so she was automatically advanced to the finals. You have been advanced. You have been set at the heavenly feast with Jesus and his blood which covers you, and all the saints who are there for the same reason you are, because of him, and they acknowledge him. You have a place at the heavenly feast, not because you came in first, but because Christ has taken you up in his way, the way of grace and mercy and forgiveness. He has lifted you into the life you did not earn. Indeed, he has brought you from death into life. He carries you forward in his baptism, which through his death and his resurrection and his institution of that sacrament, now his baptism has become your baptism, the narrow way. This narrow way of repentance and faith, of dying and rising with Jesus, the Savior, has been simply given to you as a gift from outside of yourself. Quite apart from your own effort or achievement, it is by mercy alone. His pain has gained for you eternal life. O God, let us hear when our shepherd shall call in accents persuasive and tender, that while there is time, we make haste, maybe even faster than an Olympic athlete, that we make haste spiritually, one and all, and find him, our mighty defender. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. O God, let us hear when our shepherd will call in accents persuasive and tender. He will call to you this day from his altar. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Where there's forgiveness of sins, there's life and salvation. Let us always hear his voice and live from it. and live by his righteousness alone and faith in him, not by our own works or achievement, but rather by God's mercy, which is found in Christ and given in him to you through the word and the sacraments at his institution. Amen.